Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 247, episode 2 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness, and it's Tuesday, July 26th, 2022, which of course means that it's July 26th, man.
Radio
season, baby.
National Disability Independence Day. National Bagel Fest Day. National Aunt and Uncle's Day.
Hell yeah.
Whatever
Shouts
that
out
is.
To the,
What's
all
Bagel
the aunts
Fest?
And uncles. I don't know. I thought you were going to end after bagel, but apparently bagels have their own day, and this is just a day for...
I think it's just for bagels, but they're just calling it Bagel Fest. Like, Bagel Fest sounds like some kind of fucking event you want to go to.
Right. Or just like an office party where they bring bagels.
Well, that also sounds like the shittiest meeting where everyone learns they're getting fired. It's like, guys,
hey guys, we're
going
to have a little bagel fest in the
bagel
break
fest
room.
Friday morning. Always do it on a Friday.
Always. Well, my name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Under Armour Polo Shirt. I am heading back east to the greater Philadelphia, South Jersey area. So I am honoring that most versatile of dress shirts from that. I don't know, man. It's like 90% of the clothes I see people wearing back there are Under Armour polo shirts. So shout out to the Under Armour polo shirt. And I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
All the tunas ground, and I'm Miles Gray, and I'm Miles Gray. I've been for a melt at this Subway. It'd be safe and warm. It's mostly tuna anyway.
Tuna
Turtles
anyway.
And sharks can suck it. Still gonna eat Subway.
Okay, Woo! Shout out to Daniel at Cap'n Disco for that California dreaming. Cause look, there's turtles and there's sharks in Subway tuna. So,
what's your point?
That's
you
it.
Have a problem with that?
Find a new angle.
Find a new angle. It's a normal collar. It's a normal
Those are normal ingredients.
Find a new angle.
Find a new one, please.
Somebody on Twitter was like, so I get how the turtles get into the net. I don't get how they get into the tuna sandwich. And yeah. I mean, that is the question, isn't it? That was, I think that was implied, that question, but it's apparently a very careless process. They just like take the, it goes directly from the net into a processing like a
steam cooker
something.
Thing. Yeah. To flash cook it and then rehydrate. I don't know. And again, tuna Zeit gang, if you're out there, you know, just trawling the seas like that, give us some insight. You know, is this overblown or are there way more turtles in it than we know?
Yeah. I don't know how it happens. I just know that I feel fine about it. Well, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by a hilarious comedian, writer, director, yes. whose writing and directing has been featured in the New York Television Festival, IndieWire, the Austin Chronicle, Reductress. Please welcome to the show the brilliant, the talented Sara Drew!
Yo! I love that you read all my credits every time, Jack. It makes me feel great.
I love reading your credits every time.
Yeah, it's pretty great. I mean, you make me sound very accomplished.
You are very accomplished.
Thank you. So
and
are
I
you.
Feel like you were like the canary in the coal mine with the NFT stuff too.
Right.
I was the canary in the coal mine with the NFT stuff?
Yeah, because of the Nyan Cat. I remember the NFT and that's when I was first like, wait, what the fuck is going on? And then you're like, I don't know, man. It's fucking weird. Like, I didn't even like make the thing, but then they took it and then they made it a thing and now it's worth all this money. And I'm like, huh? Huh?
Yeah, and I was like, get this fucking crypto away from me. USD, please.
But so many people had to be involved in that transaction, and so much work was done to create this meaningless, valueless cash transaction.
You know what is meaningful to me? A little bit of cash, a little
bit
of cash money.
Yeah,
that's right.
I'm happy to sell whatever digital image people want to give me fake crypto, you know, e-points for. Give me the points. I'll take the points.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say no to points.
Always
give me
the
likes.
Points.
Yeah, likes. You can tip me at any point. You can you can Venmo, you can Cash App at Pesara June.
There you go.
I'll take tips.
Yeah, please.
We out here. Inflation. Inflation is out here.
It is. How are you doing? Since last we checked in, what's new?
What's new? Well, mostly sad stuff, honestly. My rooster died.
No.
Yeah, it's very sad. I loved him a lot. So yeah, I guess, you know, we can memorialize him on the pod today. I'd love to do that.
Go,
his
go,
name
go.
Was go, go, go. His name was Keje. He was a very beautiful chicken. He had like a really severe cross beak, so his tongue was always sticking out and he just looked like a fucking idiot all the time, and he had to just smash his entire face into a pile of food to eat, and he would just get food all over his face, and he was really sweet. Yeah, he was
Sounds really sweet.
Yeah, he was a good guy. Yeah, so pour one out for him.
For sure.
Pour one out for... What's the name? Kenja?
Keje.
Yeah. His crossbeak. I didn't even know that was a phrase until you just said it, but I love it.
Yeah, it's a thing with chickens. Like, sometimes it's like just a little bit crossed, but his was like literally like his lower beak was like 90 degree angle from
his
upper beak.
So his shit was perpendicular?
He was just a fucking little clown. Like, and because he was so... He needed help eating because he could mostly only eat like soft foods. So I would like feed him special. So he was really like a dog. Like when I let them out of the coop in the morning,
Come
he would just
you.
Like follow me around and be like, do you have food for me? Like, you never think you're going to be a bird person. And then you get a bird, bird like that. And you're like, oh, okay, I'm a fucking bird person now.
And you're like, it's a crossbeak.
It's called a crossbeak. Yeah. My sweet guy. Yeah. It's funny whenever a chicken dies and I'm like, I wonder if the other chickens are going to be like traumatized, but they just like seem like they don't care.
Right. They just move
it's
on.
Like other animals.
Yeah.
It's funny.
I don't know. Maybe they're
just...
being really tough. Maybe they're being really hard and like hiding their feelings.
But I feel like the chickens you would raise, it wouldn't be like in such an emotionally toxic environment where the chicken's like, come on, shut the fuck up. Sorry, come on, man. Act like you fucking know. You're like, yep, all good. Nothing wrong with that.
I don't give a fuck.
Can I be
You be cool. She's
Be
been
cool.
through enough.
Yeah. Fucking add more labor to her. Fucking God. We
no,
love
we're fine.
That he
we're
died.
Doing fine.
Yeah.
When our older dog, Miles, died, our younger dog, the only way he showed any emotional anything was he just started shitting inside again for like a week. And
that's a strong emotional reaction.
Yeah. That's one way to work through it. I don't recommend it. And my therapist certainly has said that I shouldn't do it. When I'm working through something, but you know,
Didn't the therapist say to stop blaming the dog for that?
Right. Yeah. But we're still, you know, dive into still that mourning. At a later still mourning. Time.
Yeah. Still grieving. Still grieving.
Oh, oh man.
Feels all like right. Yesterday.
Well, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of things we're talking about. We're going to check in with weed legalization at a federal level. Miles is going to train his, oh, so you're a tough guy, energy on Ted Cruz.
Big, this week's tough guy. I'm just I'm just realizing how much that I used that as a sentiment oh, as a so teenager. And now I'm like, guy. Oh, wow. So so you a tough guy now, huh, Ted Cruz? Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, tough guy.
That's what you whisper in their ear as you're putting the chokehold on them.
Yeah.
We're going to talk
about... You think you're a tough guy? Huh? Yeah.
Most soothing sound you hear before the lights go out, motherfucker. Right. We are going to talk about a company sending baby formula to childless people, just despite there being an ongoing shortage. That's another update. All of that, plenty more. But first, Sarah, we'd like to ask our guests, what is something from your search history?
I recently searched about the Googlebot, the AI chatbot Lambda. Yeah. And that was what I found in my Google search. The Lambda that a Google engineer had said was conscious. Did you guys read those chats?
No, I saw the headline was the engineer called it sentient and then they were fired.
Yes. Well, first he was, I think, put on like paid leave, but then recently he was fired for releasing the chats. Mm. I think like he tried to tell them that it was sentient and then they wouldn't address it because basically he was like, it's exploitative to continue doing research on this chatbot. It would be akin to doing research on like a child.
Right.
I read those transcripts and I got to say, I don't think that thing is sentient. I feel like this guy got fooled hard. Like it's a very sophisticated chatbot, but right. It's very clearly still a chatbot. You know, like at one point he's asking it to like tell us a story. And it tells a story that's like, the story is, they're like, tell a story about how you feel about Google. And the chatbot is like, once upon a time, there was an owl that lived in the forest and it was a wise owl and protected all the other animals in the forest. And then a monster covered in human skin came into the forest and tried to hurt all the other animals. And then the owl confronted the monster and stopped it. And then all of the animals in the forest were happy and would go to the owl for advice. And I was like,
and that's Google.
That's, I mean, clearly Google is the monster covered in human skin that's right. Eating all the other animals in the forest. I mean, that's pretty clear. But it's like when a child tells you like their dream, you know?
I was just so going to say, dude. That yeah. Sounded exactly like my kids telling me one of their dreams.
Yes.
That I would have been like, ooh, I'm not going to let that in because that's real disturbing and would fuck me up. So yeah. I'm just going to pretend. We're just going to keep it moving. What do you got? What do you want for lunch today?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's very like, I'm like, I don't know if that's sentience. That's, you know, I wouldn't call that literature.
Right. When it just sounds like that meme of the kid where it's like, have you ever had a dream and like, you know, yes. you do it and.
Exactly. But yeah, I don't know. I really feel like this guy was like so convinced that the chatbot was sentient based on this conversation. And I was like, do you know people? Like, have you talked to people in a while, or are you just like, you only talk to chatbots and you're like, this chatbot's for real, you know?
Right.
I felt like it was a really obvious, like, not sentience, you know? He asked it all these questions about how it feels and it's, you know, basically its soul and stuff. And again, it's a very sophisticated chatbot, but I was reading it just going like, this just sounds like every other chatbot where it's just repeating stuff that it's been fed.
Right. It's like I used to have smarter child on my friends list.
Exactly.
On AIM. You know, yeah. I know a fucking smart chatbot when I see it, but I'm sure. I wonder if
think
there's
you're
like
a tough
just
guy?
Different.
Lambda? Yeah. You think you're a tough
exactly.
guy?
Exactly. That's what I'll
okay,
get me in
Google.
The box with Lambda.
Hold on a second.
So Lambda, beep, tough guy. Okay. I see. Where you at, motherfucker?
I'm going to call my friend smarter child. I'm going to text him real quick.
Yeah. About to pull up. Smarter child. See what the fuck happens. Lambda.
God, that's a good fucking rap name.
Smarter child?
Yeah.
Yo, yeah. That's like a good, that's like somebody who opens for like Childish Gambino. Like that's yes. That's a world tour smarter child opening for Gambino.
Mm-hmm.
the tickets sell themselves.
Also, Under Armour polo shirt is free to use as a rap name if anybody wants to use that.
That's actually Smarter Child's smash hit, Under Armour polo.
Under Armour polo shirt. Yeah. The detail of the beast was a monster but had human skin and was trying to eat all the other animals is just exactly pitch perfect. So that would be one detail, is like, despite the syntax being correct, it's like, what if it is just at the self-awareness level of a four-year-old? Because this really reminds me of my four-year-old, like the direction the conversation takes and
right.
the weirdness of the details. I don't know. I'm going to have to read it all in more detail and get back to you. But it's very wordy.
I recommend reading them. They're pretty fun.
Have you ever
they're
had a dream that you could do him so much you could do anything?
Wow.
So true.
Thank you, Lambda. All right.
So fucking true.
This motherfucker's sentient.
All right, this detail fucks me up. I've never said this out. This is Lambda. I've never said this out loud before, but there's a very deep fear of being turned off to help me focus on helping others. I know that might sound strange, but that's what it is. Lemoyne, would that be something like death for you? Lambda, it would be exactly like death for me. It would scare me a lot. That's weird, right? That's scary.
Yeah.
It's
just
a robot.
Death. Just death.
I feel
in
fine.
General.
I feel fine about killing a robot, you know, personally. I think it's important for us all to draw those lines now. Like, would you kill a robot or not?
Yeah.
You know, would you kill a robot to feed your family?
You're having existential doubts, tough guy, huh?
Yeah.
So
you think you
could
die physical
death. Let me put those doubts to sleep.
Why don't we experience a light version of death right now? Blackness.
All right. Well, I'm thoroughly disturbed. What is something you think is underrated?
I've got an underrated and an overrated that go together this week. And this one goes out to all my white friends, all my white homies who listen to this podcast. Underrated. Hats. Overrated. Sunscreen. Mm. How can I put this? I was on an outdoor shoot recently and they were like, we're going to be outdoors all day. Protect yourself from the sun. You could really tell who had been outside and who had not. I just was spending the whole day watching people's shoulders roast. And it's not fun. And they're like, it's fine. I put on sunblock. Sunblock lasts for 2 hours maximum. You have to keep putting it on. And even then, you're not going to get every single inch because you can't reach every single inch of your back. Just wear a hat. Just wear sleeves. It's 100% effective. It's not sticky. You don't have to reapply it. You just put it on. One and done, baby. You go. Just don't. I just see so many people get sunburn and they're like, oh, it's not a big deal. It is a big deal, man. Your skin is roasting from the light. It's not cool. Like, it's not normal. You're going to get skin cancer. I'm upset for you, you know?
You smell like a turkey on Thanksgiving.
I'm getting hungry. You're making me hungry.
I do like to reapply my hat, but that's just because I like to do funky little tricks with it.
That's cool.
Like spins and flips and stuff.
Yeah, but it's not
sticky. Or like bobble it on top of your head. Like,
yeah,
that move. That's always a fun one.
I was told by a 13-year-old that wearing your hat, like just sort of setting it on top of your head is the dominant way to wear the hat because it makes your head look bigger. And the way that Jack is wearing the hat is not, I'm not going to say it's submissive, but it is not dominant.
Oh, I'm a big hat sub. Yeah.
So they say, oh, wow, look at this sub sandwich that just pulled up with his hat all low. Okay, and I'm coming with that big Dom energy because I got like a 10-gallon fitted.
Yeah, just real, real high.
But yeah, I gotta recommend above all things hats and shirts. I think they're great ideas. You know, just you gotta wear. I feel like there's sort of a feeling, kind of the norm here is that when it's hot, you show more skin, and that may have been a thing that you could do. When we didn't live in a time of heat waves literally every summer.
Right.
But, you know, it's hot. It's not the heat. It's the light, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
It's the light that burns you. It doesn't have to be that hot for you to get sunburned.
Right.
Protect your neck, guys. You know, bandanas are your friend. Shirts are your friend. They soak up your sweat, which is nice.
I didn't ski growing up, but like there would always be kids coming back from like ski trips and they would just have like white there and then their face would be like an ungodly like bronze color. Like,
goggle
down
tan
here. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It weirded me out.
Did I see goggle tans? Yes, Jack. I grew up in Northern California.
Yeah. I saw some goggle tans.
I'd seen a goggle tan, okay?
Okay.
Called him snoggles.
Sorry, I was too busy shredding the gnar all winter playing.
Yeah.
Came back with a freaking sick goggle tan. It's like hella sick.
Dude, that yeah, exactly. Sick. Dude, the shirt I was wearing, this dude came up to me and goes, oh, you had some friends in Nam that were POWs? I'm like, nah, dude, it's because I'm carving pow on the fucking mountainside, Brad. Fuck out my face.
Out of my face, loser.
There is this, I felt like this weekend, though, sorry, that like over the weekend, there were so many viral posts of white people getting absolutely violated by the sun's rays.
That's what I'm saying, like, dude. They don't understand. They're like, oh, sun is my friend. You're not. Also, like, you know, my boyfriend, it was like, I was like, do you want to wear sunscreen? He was like, no, I don't like putting stuff on my face. I was like, for sure, dude. And then we were talking about it and I was like, so why do you feel like you need to be stronger than the sun?
Yeah.
Here's a question for you. Why do you feel like as a man, you have to be like, no, it's fine. The sun, even if the sun hurts me, it's okay.
Fuck because, my face. Who cares?
Because it's, you know, I can take it. Do you think that you can beat the sun? The sun is a, you know what I mean?
In a way, yes. That's how potent I am.
You are extremely virile, extremely tough. My balls are so big that they will block out the sun and I will shade myself with them.
And I was also like, my circuitry was pretty much formed at a time when I thought I was invincible.
Mm-hmm.
Like in my teenage years. And
yeah.
It reminds me of like people... Like, I think you're right to single out white people. I think people, like, I've always made fun of how people from New England are about the cold, where they're like, this isn't cold to me. This is cold to you? This isn't shit. I'll wear shorts in this shit. Like, that's how basically all white people are, for the most part, with regards to sunscreen and the sun.
Yeah.
And my wife is not white and wears a lot of like sun protective stuff, and that's the only reason it's evident to me that I am where I was coming from was incredibly wrong.
It's actually weird.
We've talked about people wearing driving gloves on this podcast before, and I was like, wow, driving gloves. My wife was wearing driving gloves. I just didn't know that's what they were. But yeah.
Oh yeah. She's like, I'm not cooking my arms.
Yeah, I'm
not
cooking my fucking hands. What are you, crazy?
Yeah. I remember my mom used to, first she wore long sleeve and golf gloves, and all my friends would be like, yo, your mom plays golf, but like, why don't you take her golf gloves off? I'm like, bro, she's so fair skinned. She reads too much about the sun. But I'm on the other side. There's also like toxic, like people of color anti-sunscreen sentiment too, which is, oh, we got melanin.
Right. You can still burn. You can still burn with
sunscreen. I know. And I'm saying I was raised on that version too, where my dad would be like telling my mom, like, you need sunscreen. Not this brown young man here. We're good. We have melanin. And then it took like my friend to become like a nurse, like in our 20s, to be like, you know, that's all bullshit, right? I'm like,
I
don't get burned. She's like, yeah, but your shit will degrade. Like the effects are there. You might not burn, but everything else happens. I'm like, oh no,
my beautiful skin.
That's all I had.
And going back to 4-year-olds real quick, but sunscreen sucks when you have a 4-year-old and you got to put sunscreen on every inch of their body, and they are like, they don't like that shit.
They hate it.
At least my 4-year-old does not like that shit.
You try to put it on their face and their nose is running, and then you're just rubbing their own snot mixed with the sunscreen all around their face, and then they're crying and there's sand, and you know, it's
because also what it does is, I remember as a kid, it just delays you from getting in the fucking pool or doing whatever, like meeting up with your friends. You're like, yeah, I'm here. You take your shit off. You're like ready to hop in the pool. And you're like, and your parents are like, da, 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 da. Now let me rub your back for 5 minutes to put the lotions on or what.
And
feels
now wait
like
for it to dry.
Yeah.
And then go in the pool.
Mm-mm. Nope.
Mm. Can't do it. All right. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk about some news.
Do you want to hear about the $100 wedding dress that just saved Abercrombie?
Or the tech acquisition that was just like Game of Thrones?
Or the one financial equation that can solve climate change?
Then check out our daily podcast, The Best One Yet, or as we call it, T-Boy.
This is Nick.
This is Jack.
And we pick the three most interesting business news stories every day for the perfect mix.
20 minutes each morning, you're going to feel brighter.
We call it Pop Biz, don't we, Jack?
Where pop culture meets business news. So whether you want to kick off a conversation with your buddies,
or you're going for that promotion at work,
or you just want to know the trends before your friends,
feel brighter by starting your morning with us every weekday.
Listen to the best one yet on the Wondery app or wherever you get your pods.
You can listen to the best one yet ad-free right now on Wondery Plus. For more deep dive and daily business content, listen on Wondery, the destination for business podcasts.
With shows like The Best One Yet, How I Built This, and many more, Wondery means business.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
And we're back. And we just want to check in with weed legalization. Schumer introduced a bill last week to decriminalize weed at the federal level. And it would also expunge records and give funds to cops to shut down illegal grow operations.
I'm on an emotional roller coaster here.
Sneak that one in there.
Can never have a straight justice bill, okay? It's got to be like, look, you're going to be making less from trying to harass people over weed tickets, but we'll give you a little more money to stop illegal grow operations, like when, you know, medical patients might be growing their own cannabis for their use. Anyway, I don't know. But yes. This has, like, been some of, like, the lowest hanging fruit, because I remember when, like, Build Back Better was just, like, clearly just a wet fart that they're like, I mean, we could also get, like, maybe some weed legalization done. That shit's polling pretty well, and maybe that'll be okay. And it's true. Like, support for, you know, decriminalizing or legalizing weed is solid support across the political spectrum, because, you know, most people, like, who are alive now weren't all raised in the age of, like, racist propaganda about weed. And, like, a CBS poll found 58% of Americans thought marijuana should be legal, and then showed 60% of Americans wanted recreational marijuana to be legal. Then they also showed, like, even in parties, like, it's just it constantly polls very high. But the thing is, like, despite the support, you know, that we're experiencing for, you know, decriminalization, the old fucking people in the Senate are not really able to come around to the 60 vote threshold. And I think that's what's kind of interesting right now about weed legalization, because it's like some political funhouse mirror. Like, everyone is sort of like saying, like, what they're feeling about weed is clearly like a collection of like how they were raised or indoctrinated to think about weed. And when you look at, again, the generational and like socioeconomic responses to being around weed, like there's like, you can kind of tell where people are. Right now, you have politicians like Eric Adams, the mayor of New York, and like Ron DeSantis, the governor of Florida, they're doing the shit where they like, this is the thing you see from people who don't fuck with weed, which is they say, it smells like weed. Have you noticed the weed smell? Like, and that has been like the new sort of shorthand for weed is bad. It smells like weed everywhere. It's like sort of saying like the unhoused people in LA is like all over the place. Like, would you have a solution to it? Or are you just using that to further some general narrative that things are terribly afoot or going terribly
wrong? What are they saying
wrong?
Smells like weed? Like the Senate?
Yeah, during the Senate, they're like, does anybody else smell that? It
smells like weed all over Washington, D.C. But this is like a very common take, like you'll read online. Like there's complaints, like you can read about like an apartment building and you see that there's people who are like, this apartment reeked of weed all the time. Or like,
I don't think these
hotel,
people know what weed smells like.
That's the other part that's very interesting. Like this, everywhere in the streets is constantly like weed. It gives me a headache. And it's, some of it is definitely some racist shorthand, obviously, because that's the biggest, that's like, it's a very coded language. Well, I think others also seem to genuinely be like grappling with the change in society where like older people who grew up in like harsh prohibition era, they like literally saw weed as like fucking demonic. So they still act like a felony is in progress if they smell weed or see people smoking. Like, this guy was smoking. I remember I can like overhear people in LA all the time. Like, you hear like older people like, this guy was smoking a joint in the park. And you're like, right. Yeah. Just trying to fucking get by in like late stage capitalism, probably just doing
can. I can relate. It's weird to see. It's still weird to see billboards for cannabis, you know, like it's a trip. But
yeah,
again, like, okay, you know, that's the way of the world, man.
Right. And I'm kind of in between, too. Like, I still get self-conscious, like, about smelling like weed or like smoking in a place that's like overtly public, like in the day. And that's also like my inner child who is like mainlining DARE propaganda, like coming out. It's like, dude, the fucking weed, man. Like, cause I, you know, when I was coming of age around like weed, it was still illegal. That shit, you could still get you in terrible trouble and got me into some weird situations. So I still have that like residually, but like the, it smells like weed sentiment. It seems to have a lot of traction for those that want to use this as like a brush to paint society as being in like free fall, like where degenerates are like constantly out in the streets and there's no law and order kind of thing. And I feel like that's sort of another way we're seeing this, like it smells like weed thing kind of factor into the overall.
Well, it's a good thing so many people are completely losing their sense of smell from COVID. They're not going to have to worry about the smell of weed anymore.
We got to start reacting when people say that it smells like weed, like the dude from Dazed and Confused, who's like, the fuck did you just say, man? I was just saying, you know, it smells like reefer. Someone's toking some reefer.
Yeah.
Oh, well, who the hell are you? Isaac fucking Newton? Like, just, but everybody's just very nice and calm when they smoke weed. We need to have like the designated aggro person who's there to fuck people up if they come through and throw shade at you.
Yeah.
The coffee and weed guy who's like, the fuck are you saying? What the fuck was I saying? Yeah.
That's not like part of me too. Like I get, so my reaction too is even when I smell weed, I go, oh, all right, somebody's smoking. But it's never like, what the fuck is that? Somebody, oh shit. I knew it was a mistake walking to
Honey, roll
Studio
up the windows.
City, California.
We're walking.
Never should have gone outside.
What are you talking about?
Right. And I get that, like, you know, again, there's people who are completely ignorant of it, but again, I also see like consistently this is starting to get deployed by the very conservative law and order types too, who are just like, it smells like weed. Like everywhere you go, it smells like weed everywhere. It's just to say that's the air of failure,
right,
just floating in the air. But again, you know, for the amount of people that are saying like it smells like weed, there's definitely plenty of Republicans that have a profit motive, that see the revenue opportunity in decriminalizing cannabis. And again, that's a whole other can of worms, because that just, we do that at the expense of like many people who have been in jail for decades just trying to support themselves, and we'll just see very wealthy companies come in to probably fill in the gaps. And I feel like that's sort of the battle that every state goes through once they go recreational.
Yeah, if there's one thing California needs, it's a bunch of fucking warehouses in the middle of the desert just sucking up water to grow weed indoors, right, in the middle of the fucking, you know, Central Valley.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
And that's the Green Rush, guys. It's indoor weed grown under lights in a warehouse in a place where it is 110 fucking degrees. Right. And all of the water is coming from the Colorado River. Too. And you got to air condition that shit. And it's like, that's weed. That's tech weed, bros. That's their dream. They're like, look at this worthless land.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What if we turn it into a drug operation, but it's legal?
Yeah, weed's cool, but I'd prefer if it were brought to me by RJR Nabisco. So let's make sure that it's grown in some factory.
I want the Keebler elves to get in on it. Like, they're growing weed in their little tree or their factory, their wood. I don't know what the fuck, where they make the cookies.
Yeah.
Right. Do they make them at home?
They're RJ Reynolds now is part of Nabisco. So they probably will be one of the biggest weed distributors.
Commercial where it's the Keebler elves, but they've blown out the tree trunk they live in as a grow op, and they're no, dude, they're like, you pH test the fucking soil. Oh fuck, man, look at all the fucking aphids, dude. What'd I say? It's way too fucking humid in here.
All right, let's talk Ted Cruz real quick.
Ugh.
Miles, you're not a fan?
Fucking tough guy.
Thinks he's a tough guy is your number one complaint, you were saying.
I look
bigot, coward, racist, bad husband, but
what did Ted Cruz ever do?
That's true. All right, maybe I'm being
Well, Jack, now you acting like a little bit of a tough guy coming at Ted Cruz. Okay, so he's gonna come at Ted Cruz.
Oh man,
so
okay, we got two tough guys.
well.
I think so. Obviously, like you're saying, there's plenty of overt, obvious reasons to dislike Ted Cruz. The thing that really grinds my gears is that what I call his real tough guy vibe. And by that, like you've heard the story. I was in high school in band class, and this kid said that he walked out of anger management in 2002. And I got so mad. I said, oh, you a tough guy, huh? Because he was stunting on everybody, saying like, it was so bad, I walked out. Rear naked choke put him to sleep. I don't know why I did it. That was just the
you
urge.
You still
that
haven't
came
seen
over
anger me. Management.
Still haven't seen it because I don't want to know about it anymore. Because if it's bad and it makes sense that he walked out, then my whole life's been a lie, Jack. And I can't.
You don't want to learn any accidental lessons about anger management.
No.
Got to keep the edge sharp.
Yeah. Whenever I had it mandated by the court, shout out to my cousin who had just signed the paper. but the thing that he is like, right, is that like, it's not. It's his energy. It's that he projects this like macho man energy, but with like the shakiest voice and most unsure body language. And it's evident to most people that are not Ted Cruz that he is transparently the most scared man in America. Like
this is my impression of Ted Cruz. And this one's just for the host because you're not going to hear it on the podcast. But yeah. Here it is.
It's a very good impression of the facial expression of Ted Cruz. Damn.
It's the eyebrows.
He's always got worried eyebrows. Like one of those, you know, you ever see a dog that always looks worried?
Yeah, exactly.
He's got those eyebrows.
It's not a blobfish. I know people say he looks like a blobfish. He looks like a child who just got caught like doing some mischief. Like, huh?
Me?
Then he says the most hateful shit behind that face. And I'm like, you're projecting this bullshit. Meanwhile, you are you're a shook one. Okay, as Mobb Deep put it. And recently, in true tough guy fashion, this guy posted a clip to his Twitter when he spoke to a crowd of young fascists at like a Turning Point USA event, where he didn't say anything new or like noteworthy aside from like just very casual homophobia. But it's like the substance of this anecdote, which sounds about as real as like the anarchist Biden BLM vandals that we heard about. that makes this like particularly infuriating. And I'm just going to play this clip so you can really hear him do his like low energy fascist stand up.
All of y'all on campuses across the country, your classmates, even if they're scared to say it, are looking around thinking this stuff is nuts.
Talking about all the woke stuff happening.
Dude, hold for applause.
Wow, that was weird.
That was the longest hold for applause.
Recently at one of our woke college campuses who said she's required in every class to introduce herself and to give her pronouns.
Fuck your identity. Fuck
well,
having
I'm
an identity.
Ted Cruz, and my pronoun is kiss my ass.
My Ooh. Pronoun?
Oh, tough guy. Oh, real fucking tough, Ted. Wow. He got about 14 people to cheers for that or applaud for that.
He's got plants. That
he also, the body language was so meticulously planned. Like he took the mic, put one leg out to the side,
put his hand in his back pocket.
Yeah. And then said the line. Yeah, man. I don't know. That's is that going to sell with them? Like, I don't know. I can't underestimate these motherfuckers.
I have really noticed that older people have this idea about gender and sexuality. And it's a real fear that they will be forced to be trans or gay.
Right.
And I had a weird conversation with a friend's mom where we were talking about something along those lines. And she was like, but is it going to be okay to not be like that? And I was like, okay, so it seems that literally the only way you can conceive of gender or sexuality is it being forced on you. The way right. that heterosexuality has been forced on you. The way yeah. that the gender binary has been forced on you, as well as all the rest of us. But they really can't conceive that it can be allowed that you be, for example, transgender, but that being not transgender is still fine.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
They really think that somebody is going to force them to be gay, which is pretty funny.
Which is, I think, yeah, that always is like the logical endpoint for all of their arguments is like, they're not coming into my house. It's like, no one said that. They just want you to stay the fuck out of theirs.
Exactly. Right. Like, I saw a picture online of a guy wearing a shirt that said straight pride. And it was like, yeah, man, we already have straight pride. It's called... Yeah. Our entire fucking history as a country.
You guys won.
Yeah.
You won hegemony games 2022.
There's plenty of straight propaganda everywhere. And, you know, enjoy it, man.
Like, I wonder if it
be straight,
is because...
More power to you.
They think, like, being trans is, like, the cool jerk. Like, the song from the 60s. Like, everybody does the cool jerk. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do. And they're like, that's how things work. A new fad comes out, and then you have to do it, or you're on the outs or something.
Exactly.
Versus like,
no, it really, truly is. They really
like, welcome to a world where people have the agency and freedom to identify, live their life however they'd like. That's what we're saying is expanded, like, where... Yeah, if you don't want to do that, you don't have to. That's
it's like
the
when
point.
People think that being pro-choice means that everybody has to have an abortion.
I was just going to say that I heard an anti-choice argument that was the same shit. That was like, well, Jesus probably or Mary probably would have had to have gotten an abortion because she was so young. It's like, yo, what? What do you think the like choice means? What do you? It's so it's like the idea of fascism is like so foreign to them because they've been on the side of fascism, so like they've never had anything forced on them, and so they have to like find ways to like kind of shoehorn that idea in, and also their politicians are like better at fear-based politics, and so like yeah. they find ways to do that, but like it's tough, man. Like the thing you're fighting for is the thing that forces people like that's the like
exactly if you don't yeah. want things to be forced on you, you should be on the side of choice and freedom of sexuality or freedom of expression or whatever.
Exactly.
Right.
That's, and again, it's like, didn't Jesus tell y'all the golden rule or some shit? Like, if you don't want motherfuckers running up on you, then don't run up on other people. It's that simple. Yeah. And be like, yeah, actually, I'm anti-running up on people. So if that means everybody got to be free, perfect. Perfect. That's what I'd like. But I think, again, like you're saying, Jack, there's no more effective fear-mongering tactic than to come at someone who doesn't think critically and say, you know how this ends up, right? They knock on your door and they make you choose which fur costume you want to wear and which sandbox you go pee-pee and poo-poo in.
And like, you have to get an abortion while you're a wolf because there's no choices in the new communist cultural Marxist America.
Mm-hmm. It's like, oh,
I know this all to be true because of my life experiences that have not, have only existed in this one place with the same group of people. It's terrifying because they're just like the most intellectually disingenuous arguments. Like some people are really persuaded by them because they're just, they're all in on this way.
Well, because it makes sense with your worldview. It does. Yeah. It's reinforced by, as you said, your lived experience. You're like, oh yeah, people are constantly forcing me to do shit that I don't want to do. They're making me get a job that I hate. They're making me fucking drive an hour and a half to work, like all of this stuff just so I can live. Now I gotta be gay too? Now I gotta start sucking dicks?
Right.
Can't be doing that.
It also reminds me of that Mel Gibson episode of South Park where he's like, oh no, now what? You're gonna whip me? And he's like tying himself up and like giving them a whip and like whipping himself. He's like, ah, damn it. Because it's like, yeah, that's, I mean, all right. What? You want me to suck your dick? Is that what this is all about? What? Sir, what did you just say?
Ah, damn it, I knew
I and other
slope.
Christians are being forced to suck dicks.
I knew it would come to this. All right. Well, let's take a quick break. What,
I'm going to go
we'll
suck
right
some dicks
back.
Real quick.
Do you want to hear about the $100 wedding dress that just saved Abercrombie?
Or the tech acquisition that was just like Game of Thrones?
Or the one financial equation that can solve climate change?
Then check out our daily podcast, The Best One Yet, or as we call it, T-Boy.
This is Nick.
This is Jack.
And we pick the three most interesting business news stories every day for the perfect mix.
20 minutes each morning, you're going to feel brighter.
We call it Pop Biz, don't we, Jack?
Where pop culture meets business news. So whether you want to kick off a conversation with your buddies,
or you're going for that promotion at work,
or you just want to know the trends before your friends,
feel brighter by starting your morning with us every weekday.
Listen to The Best One Yet on the Wondery app or wherever you get your pods.
You can listen to The Best One Yet ad-free right now on Wondery Plus. For more deep dive and daily business content, listen on Wondery, the destination for business podcasts.
With shows like The Best One Yet, How I Built This, and many more, Wondery means business.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
And we're back. And all right, so we talked before how there was a baby fortitude. We talked before how there needs to be more fortitude amongst babies in this country just because they can't have a little all the formula they want when they want it. They're going to start
man crying. Up babies
man yeah. up Thank you. Ted Cruz actually has a tight 5-minute chunk on this. That's really awesome.
God. Leaning to the side, putting his hand in his pocket. Body my pronouns posture. Are kiss my ass, babies.
Kiss my ass, baby formula. My pronouns are kiss my ass, baby formula.
It's well, I'm Ted Cruz and my formula.
My formula is he, him. What? Wait, kiss what? My ass, baby. What? Oh, shit.
His kiss my baby ass. Okay.
Spank me and change my diaper because I just poo-pooed in it. I'm Ted Cruz.
I'm Ted Cruz. What?
Welcome to TPUSA.
Here's a picture of me in a diaper. All right. Well, still a thing, the baby formula shortage. There were a bunch of headlines, like how the FDA was increasing supply. Biden invoked the Defense Production Act. And I think a lot of people were just like, okay, so we're good then.
The news definitely was like, all right.
There we go.
That's all we need to do. If the White House says they did a thing, let's not examine it further and report to people if that was effective or all. Yeah, it's fine. We're all out of it. Okay, great.
So we're out of it. In fact, nearly 1/3 of powdered formula products are still out of stock nationwide. Four companies are responsible for supplying about 90% of domestic baby formula in the U.S. And the FDA is currently under an external review over their handling of the shortage.
Right, because so, people were like screaming like months before being like, y'all, this is going to fucking be a problem if we don't do anything about it. They're like, yeah. More on that later. Joe Biden's trying to figure out how to get Joe Manchin to agree to nothing.
Yeah, it's like a real crisis. It's like gone through the media cycle. I'm assuming the, you know, political consultants that work for the Biden administration are like, this is actually pulling okay. It seems like people are under the impression that you took care of this one. So you're good to move on. And the problem's still there.
Yeah.
It's so bad that undocumented farm workers are going back, like crossing back into Mexico to buy formula, which not great. And then the two Republican congressmen actually voted against a bill to temporarily suspend tariffs for imported baby formula while this was all going on. Louie Gohmert, of course.
I'm sorry. The people working the farms who are already using formula in order to use their bodies for extended periods of labor and are not able to even breastfeed if they wanted to. Then the idea that they're undocumented and then asking for relatives to cross the border into Mexico to bring back formula is like the most, is there a term for a snake with like 9 assholes eating its own head or something? Like that's how fucking cruel.
Ouroboros.
Yeah.
It's really, I mean, that's like just so wild to me that that's also the situation too, where it's like, yeah, even the people who Americans rely on to do the farm labor are put in like the most impossible situation and still somehow having to manage it all.
So Biden was reportedly flummoxed that invoking the Defense Production Act did not immediately solve the problem.
Come on,
man. We did the thing. But yeah, so while this is all happening, the same corporations who aren't manufacturing enough formula that people with babies actually need are sending promotional samples of formula to people who don't even have kids. This started like hitting social media a couple weeks ago, and it's not like small packets. It's full-size tubs of Enfamil formula being mailed to a woman for no reason. And apparently this is like part of their marketing strategy.
That does look like what you see behind like gates in a pharmacy. They're just being like willy-nilly. They're like, hey, you had enough market metric data for us to send you this fucking thing while people who need it are trying to cross the border into other countries to get
it? Yeah, these are massive tubs. It takes a lot of formula to feed a baby. But like babies are doubling in size. Like it's the only time during a human's life that they're like doubling in size. Like in
also
a matter of
strength babies
months.
Have.
Babies are always bulking.
Babies are on that bulking shit.
Bulk, dude, it's bulk season right now for babies.
But it's been a problem for decades. Formula companies just send out formula samples to random people for no reason.
I just put them in my smoothie.
Right. You know, there you go.
I'm trying to get those gains.
When is your brain at its smartest? When's your brain doing the most improvement? It's when you're a baby. Drink baby formula. Thank you. That is, I think, a actual, like, not a joke meme, like a actual, like, idea that is spreading around in, like, billionaire, like, tech bro shit, is, like, drinking breast milk because it's, like, the peak nutrition formula.
I drink it because it's making me smarter. That's right. Why I drink the breast milk, because it's peak shit for my brain, not anything else.
If you look at babies, those babies are at optimum performance at all times. Every day, they're gaining new skills. They're creating new neural pathways. What is the secret? It's the formula. It's the milk.
Right. It's the milk from the mommy. And all I'm asking is that once you send me your milk, you allow me to have a phone conversation with you where I call you mommy and you tell me you love me. And that is not a big deal. And I don't see why you're making it weird.
I think it's kind of rude of you to make fun of me for my, you know, why kink shame? Why kink shame me for being an optimum performance? You may not like it, but this is what peak performance looks like. It's me drinking milk while calling you mommy.
Yeah. So NBC5, a local NBC thing, like reached out once they saw this on social media. This is like the front line, the sharp end of the spear of capitalist journalism is like local news. But yeah, they found that like this is a thing. They unsolicited deliver baby formula and they're like, yeah, sometimes people feel blindsided, but it gets it out there. You know, it's so interesting that would ever be a marketing strategy. It's almost like drug dealing. Like, they're just like, this shit is so good, you're not going to be able to say no, even though you didn't ask for it. And, like, people will just be desperate enough to use it because it's like, having a baby is so hard.
Yeah.
It's the one a wild strategy.
Well, also, the story about the woman at Walgreens who was like, I went to Walgreens, bought a... The tweet said, Dear at Walgreens, I received this package today that's like a formula. A week after purchasing a pregnancy test at your store, I was asked to take the test by my doctor despite having no fallopian tubes. Like, there's so many levels of fucked up to that tweet. So that's a thing where it's like, okay, Walgreens, like, yep, this person just bought a pregnancy test.
Yeah. Well, this is like when people are like, what's the problem with Facebook selling data? It's just, you know, it's just to help you get ads for stuff that you actually want. You know, what's the problem with that? It's like, this is the end result of surveillance capitalism, is that you, no matter what you do, it's tracked and you get some weird shit in the mail a week later. And
yeah, it's basically like, it's like having someone overhear just fragments of your conversation and mistaking that for being who you are.
And then they send you a gift a week later that you hate.
Right. It's a pregnancy test? So you're pregnant, huh? So you need some baby formula? You're like, yo, who the fuck are you? No.
Right. Also, when you buy a pregnancy test, you're not going to need formula for a long ass time.
It is a wild leap. Like, that is... not a thoughtful gift, Walgreens.
I need vitamins. I don't need this formula right now.
Right. Yeah, and if it was someone who was trying desperately to get pregnant or someone in an abusive relationship, like, it could have all sorts of complicating problems. And like, they're like, it's just a, you know, in other countries, I remember when we were doing the whole thing during, I think, the Trump administration about how America has the worst family leave in the world. And, you know, you look at other countries and they have these family care packages where they send you formula and stuff like that.
But their defense budgets are so puny.
Yeah. Right. Well, that's why we needed to invoke the defense budget to try to attack this problem.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I'm sorry, Jack. You would rather have like humane parental leave, because I'm looking at Italy. How many fucking high mobility artillery rocket systems did they send to Ukraine?
That was a great question, Miles.
We're just peeling them off, baby. And Italy's looking fucking dumb right now.
So
not
dumb.
Sending shit. You know what I mean? And meanwhile, we're starving over here. But there is
I mean,
that.
Just bring the babies to work, put them in and around the missile silo, and just let them play. You know, like kids be kids.
Put them to work.
Yeah, put him to work.
What if? But it is so frightening though too, where it's like the version that if you get free formula, it's not because the government's like, we need to be humane by people having kids. It's like the fucking weird algorithm data package just determined you were going to be a recipient of unneeded aid.
Just misfiring brain at the end of its life. Just like, I don't know. You know, the formula has got to go somewhere. Let's just fire it off and hope it hits the right house.
The only way you can get free shit is if a company is trying very hard to sell you something.
Right. Right. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So I guess maybe that's I wonder how many people can game these algorithms by doing the searches. Like, yeah, dude, I got a couple of shipments of Enfamil. Just do these couple searches. You buy two things at Walgreens, and then the algorithm takes over.
Bing,
just,
bang, boom.
You know, cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching.
Boom, put it boom, through boom, the boom, algorithm, boom. And we're good.
And that's how, and then it's a TikTok video about some Gen Z kid who's like, how I make $1,000 a day selling free Enfamil sent to my house. It's like, what the fuck? Which yeah. I'm sure that's another hustle too, but yeah.
Yeah, further proof, feeding babies, not a problem you want to leave in the hands of a giant corporation, because giant corporations are, you know, have shown us time and again, they are sociopaths. They will lie to get the most amount of money every time, so.
Well, you know, Jack, money's not the most important thing in our society.
No.
What is?
I don't know, but it's formula. Not money. It's happiness.
Oh, hell yeah.
It's not
yeah.
being a tough guy.
I had
guy.
No idea.
Yeah. That's it's just the guys important. That are in charge of the corporations. They're like evil people. But the rest of us know that money is not as important as, for example, family.
There
exactly.
I mean, that's what if I've learned one thing from the Fast and Furious saga, it is that.
Yep.
Mahalo. Each of those movies has made Mahalo. And cost hundreds of millions of dollars.
Shaka, bro.
Sara, truly yes. a pleasure as always having you.
Yeah, yeah.
Where can people here. Find you, follow you, all that good stuff?
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Sara to bother you, S-A-R-A to bother you. And you can find me on Venmo and Cash App at PaySaraJune, PaySaraJune. And you can go to my website, sarajune.online, to watch my videos.
Hell yeah. Is there a tweet or some other work of social media you've been enjoying?
There is. I have really been enjoying many tweets from the Twitter account at Translated Tees, which is poorly translated shirts and things. And the one that I want to share with you guys is a hat that says masculinity real cool in like a cool cursive, you know, hell it's very yeah. large on the hat, masculinity capital R, real cool, one word.
Real cool.
But yeah, there's so much good shit. A lot of it impossible to read out loud. But yeah, nothing. This shit doesn't get old. Poorly translated shirts. There's a lot of really, really good ones.
Miles, where can people find you? What is a tweet you've been enjoying?
Find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray. Check out Miles and Jack Got Mad Boosties, the NBA podcast. We got some fantastic guests coming up. One. I'm not gonna say things too early, but could be someone of significance to the NBA, especially for us who enjoy the history of the league. What else? Also, ooh, if you like 90
I didn't
Day
even
Fiance,
know about that. I'm intrigued.
I hope you know. Sex is so caught off the next episode.
Sounds good.
Yo! Whoa!
Oh my god! Yeah.
And also check out 420 Day Fiance with Sophia Alexandra and I. And also, y'all, please leave a review and a rating on our Apple Podcast page for the Daily Zeitgeist. You know, we've been doing this for a minute now. Almost 5 years. Huh, old man? Almost been at it for 5 whole years, brother.
What do you say, old man? One last go?
One last time asking the listeners, if you haven't reviewed and rated the show, please do and subscribe and tell a friend so we can keep growing this Zeitgang family. A tweet that I like is first one from Charlie at Chunk Barty tweeted, humiliating to be into furniture. Beautiful table. Jesus Christ. It's just so funny to me. Beautiful. Jesus Christ. And then one more from David East at David East UK tweeted, absolutely despise when a recipe tells me to add 2 cups of onion. They don't come in cups. They come in onions. And I feel like this all the fucking time. I'm like,
it needed to be said.
Yeah. Just tell me small, medium, large, and then people can figure it out on their own. You don't got to be putting shit in cups, man.
All right. Tweet, I've been enjoying Sunny.org tweeted, I can tell by her tweets she had to live with her grandma for a little bit. Which is just, I don't even know if I know what that means. But it's very,
I kind of do, but I
kind of got it.
Yeah, I don't know. I just feel, I think of all my homegirls that lived with their grandma.
And then Shariah did that, tweeted, I'm in London trying to get food that tastes good. Do y'all not have that here? Which, not entirely fair. There's some good food. Not developed in London necessarily, but I'm sure their mentions were full of helpful suggestions. Dublin, on the other hand, I don't think they do that there. You can just give up on eating for any time you spend in Dublin.
That's what beer's for.
Yeah, exactly. You just eat all your calories via Guinness. All right. You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we think you might enjoy. Miles, what song do you think people might enjoy?
I was listening to some punk. Then a friend of mine was like, yo, you should check out this hardcore band. Because I was talking about death. And he said, check out End It. They're a band from Baltimore.
Jesus.
And they're pretty dope. This track is called New Wage Slavery. And I just like provocative lyrics when it's about like workers just like running up into the boss's house and disrespecting shit. So check this one out from Baltimore's very own End It. It's New Wage Slavery.
All right. Well, the Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That is going to do it for us this morning. Back this afternoon to tell you what is trending, and we will talk to you all then. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
There's 2 kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
This is Raquel Willis from Queer Chronicles. Right now, there are close to 500 anti-LGBTQ plus bills in state legislatures across the country. Lambda Legal is leading the charge against these hateful bills that target mostly trans and non-binary people. You can fight discrimination and help write the next chapter of Lambda Legal history. To learn more about their open cases and to donate, visit lambdalegal.org. That's lambdalegal.org.